greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'm happy to be here. When I saw Tim was here, I said, I'd be happy to let him share the message. He'd come a lot further away than I did, but he thought I should continue with the plans. I was thinking a little bit about the years spent in this and that, the next thing that Josiah talked about, but I don't remember that he said anything about how many years you spend in your personal devotions before God. How many years do you think you spend in reading your Bible? I'm sure it varies from time, person to person, but I believe it's very important that we do that. I have a job that I'm driving, and so it gives me a lot of time to either listen to some hymns or sing them myself, and I'm glad for that too. And so I'm glad that we have a God, a great God, that we can serve this morning in various ways. And it's all right if we don't know how many years we spend in that. It might tend to pride ourselves if we got a number that sounded kind of high. This morning, I have chosen to bring through the Holy Spirit's leading, to bring a message on our giving. A number of years ago, and there's probably a few people here that are maybe at least one that would remember this. Our deacon brother at Shirksville, Joe Ball, his first wife, was sick and had some hospital expenses and so on. And so we had a brotherhood assistance offering lifted, and it was for back then it was a sizable offering. And the next Sunday, Brother Harry Erb came from Texas to preach at Shirksville, and he said he was going to preach on giving. And he commented about the number that he saw on the board, and he said it's a good time to preach on giving is when people are giving. And I came this morning, and I looked at the board, and it said something over 4,000. I said, good, it's a good time to preach on giving. And now I see it's a really good time. So open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I have a number of points here, and then we'll be looking at a few other scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I would have read all of 8 and 9, but I think it's probably going to get a little long. I'm just going to pick out some of the verses that we want to look at in particular. As we think about our giving, we need to recognize that we are here this morning because we have a desire to serve the Lord, and we have a desire for Him to lead our lives. And so we call ourselves followers of Christ. And he says here, starting in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that how in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. And that's the first point in the message, is that if we want to be giving as God would want us to, we need to be willing of ourselves to be used in that way. We would naturally understand that someone that's not really willing, has a tight fist, is not going to be a good giver. And then he also says that in verse 5, he says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave of them own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so they give of themselves, and that's a principle that we still apply today. We give, even put in the offering things that we could have used in a good and beneficial way in our own lives, but we have a need, and then we give to that need. We also see a principle that they were ready. In verse 11, he says, "Now to therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." And so we see a readiness, and we see a desire, a willing mind. Of course, it takes a willing mind if we're going to be willing to give, and not of grudgingly or necessity. Without a willing heart, it doesn't matter what the size of the gift, it would not be acceptable or adequate. The next point that I'd like to notice is that as followers of Christ, we need to be willing to fully give ourselves to the Lord. And we find that also here in this same chapter. In verse 5, he says, "We did as they hoped, but they gave of their own selves to the Lord by the will of God." We need to commit all, not only our financial resources, but all of our life to God, to have the kind of willing offering that God is looking for. We need to commit ourselves to the Lord. And God, I believe that God is interested in the individual that gives and not necessarily the funds that they give. And so as we give as accordingly as we can, it's not the amount, but it's the willingness of the heart that God is looking for. Everyone must first give of themselves, and then they will likely not be holding back funds that should be given because of the giver. If you give of yourself, you're willing to give to the church and the needs that follow. The next principle I'd like to look at is that since we are following Christ, we must also love other individuals. In chapter 8 and verse 24, it says, "Wherefore show ye to them and before the church the proofs of your love and of our boasting of your behalf." We have to love other individuals, and our gifts must be in love to Christ and to the church. And I think that's why we do give, and why we can have an offering like the board shows this morning, because we love Christ and we also love His body, the church, and we want to help in the way that we can. As God has blessed us materially, we also want to share those blessings with for the needs that exist. So if we love each other, then I believe giving becomes a natural act, outworking of that love. And Matthew chapter 6, just want to read of one verse there, Matthew chapter 6, two verses. "Let no man," verse 1 and 2, "let no man account of us, the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministry. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We need to recognize that we are simply stewards of what God has given us, and we need to be faithful with that responsibility. We have also in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 7, "Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." And so God is looking for us to participate in that way, and it brings I could use the word satisfaction, or bring, when we give the Lord, to the Lord, the way that He wants us to, it makes us happy, okay? It brings happiness, for lack of other word. And we want to continue to let the Lord work in that way. Now also, we must, as followers of Christ, we must recognize that we're simply stewards of what God has given us. And I find that in 1 Corinthians 4, I did read those verses, that we're stewards, and that God expects us to use His resources that He has given us in the right way. These things still belong to God, even though He allows us to have them and use them. They still belong to God. And we find that in Matthew. I'm in the wrong place. Well, let me just. Yeah, Matthew chapter 25. Oh, this is a long. We find in verse 14 all the way down through verse 30, it talks about the account where a man was traveling into a far country, and he called his servants and he gave them his goods, and the one he gave so many talents, and the other he gave different talents to each one. And when he came back, he asked them what happened with the things that he entrusted in them. And so the first one brought his five talents in verse 20. And he said, I've got five more. And so now you have 10. And the Lord blessed him for that and said, you were good and faithful, and you have a reward. You're going to be a ruler over some cities. And then the next one that had the two talents, he also brought his two talents and said, I have gained two more beside. And he said, you did a good job too. Well done, good and faithful servant. And he said, you've been faithful in a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things and enter into the joy of the Lord. And then we had this one servant that he had some gift too that his Lord had given him, but he went and hid it. And he said, because he was scared of, putting it in my words, he was scared of the time when his master would come back and want it back. And he said, no, that was the wrong thing to do. And we can understand very well from this passage that God expects us to use in a right way the gifts that He has given us. And not every individual has the same gift. You understand that. This one brother, I don't know, I ever met you before, but he led singing, and if I try to lead singing, you'd say, well, that guy sure don't know what he's doing. I don't know one note from the next. He said, sing in unison. I said, what's that? You know, and then singing parts, well, it sounded different. But that's because he had a gift that I don't have. But I'm not responsible for his gift. I'm responsible for the gift that God gave me. And you're responsible for the gift that God gave you. And we want to use those gifts in a God-honoring way that He can honor and bless. And those gifts, if we use them in a right way, will multiply and be a blessing to us and to others as we move on through life. The next point that I'd like to notice then is that as followers of Christ, we need to consider the amount we give depends on our income. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16:2, it talks about this 1 Corinthians 16 and verse, I'll read the first three verses. Concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall appoint, approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And so here we have the principle that God is prospering us. Our blessings that we have are not because we're so smart or that we're so wonderful in taking a little something and making something big out of it, but it's God's blessing to us. And God prospers the individual that wants to serve him in a right way. And so as we think about God prospering us, it should make a difference in our giving. And so the more that we earn, the more we can give. Years ago, there was a saying that I came across. It said, it's not what you would do with a million, if a million should be your lot, but what you're doing with the dollar and a quarter you got. And so that makes it, you know, we have a large resource, we're more responsible. A smaller resource, we're not quite as responsible, but we still are responsible. And no matter what the size of our bank account or the size of our income. But as incomes increase, then our giving should also increase. And I just, when I started my first job, of course, was when I was about 13 or 14. I worked on a dairy farm for somebody else and did that, a couple different dairy farms. But when I started my first public works job, I got a dollar and a quarter an hour. Worked 40 hours a week. So I got paid every 2 weeks, and I got $100 in 2 weeks. How many of you would be willing to work for $100 for 2 weeks? No takers, okay. Well, things have went on and increased. And today, I have a job that's an old man's job. I drive a truck and I drive my van first off, and I take some Amish men down to the job place, and then I drive a small truck and make some deliveries, and I get paid many times more than what I did when I first started. And that's, all of you can say the same thing, I believe. And so my responsibility today to give is much, much greater than it was when I earned $100. And that, by the way, the government took 20 of those dollars. So I only got $80 for 2 weeks. And I used to think it would really be nice when I get $100 take home. Well, that's long past. And so now I can earn $100 in just a couple hours. So my giving should have increased, right? Yes, it must increase, and same goes for y'all. And so as our giving, as our income increases, as God prospers us more and more, then we need to increase our giving also. Next principle then we find is that followers of Christ, we need to consider the amount of our giving depends on what we have. Now, we accumulate things as life goes on. And 2 Corinthians 8, back to where we started from, it says in verse 12, 2 Corinthians 8, verse, there is first the willing mind that is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. Now all of us can look around, and we can find somebody that has more financial means than ourselves. And so we can say, well, you know, they should really dig in. But he says it's not, we don't need to feel that what we're responsible for is what we, the amount that we have, according to what we have. And so I'm responsible for what I have, you're responsible for what you have. And therefore that should help to regulate our giving. I think also we need to not think of our giving and church offering as a weekly tax, certainly not, but that it's a privilege to give and to help supply the need for wherever it's going. And as surely as we have resources, we have responsibilities. And we found that in that chapter in Matthew, where the different resources that were given required different responsibilities. The next point I have then is that as followers of Christ, we need to consider the fact that the amount of our giving depends upon the need. So we find this in Mark chapter 12. What did I do here? Here it is. No. Mark chapter 12. Verse 41 to 44. Jesus sat over, this is the account we know well, sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow cast more than all they which cast into the treasury, for they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And so the point here is that we give according to the need, and while some may be able to give more than others, God takes into consideration how much we keep, putting it in my words. This here widow came and she cast in her two mites, which he said that was all she had. And I don't know if she knew where her next mite would come from. But there is a sense where we need to be responsible in our giving, where we know we have other expenses that we need to meet. We need to be responsible in our giving also. But I think that most of us could probably give a little more than what we normally do and not really mind it. And so our giving depends upon need. In Acts chapter 4, and verse 82 through 85. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. There was great power given to the apostles and witness of resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and brought the peace the price of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So here again, the giving was according to the need. Now, we do not recommend today that everybody goes out and sells their properties, and because I don't think we have that kind of need right now. But God's blessing evidently rested on this, in this new church, where they were willing to give up their property and to supply the needs of others. And the money was distributed according to the need. And that's the principle we still use today. Our deacon brethren, and maybe along with some others, consider the need and are give a proportionately to that. Next principle I'd like to consider is that as followers of Christ, we need to consider that our giving is established by priority. And that what I mean by that is that as we compare our giving beside our wanting, okay? Maybe some of you are bow hunters. I tried that one season and I gave that up in a hurry. But so we need a new bow because there's a new kind of bow that come out. And so, yeah, the church is asking for money and they have a need, but I need this bow. So we need a, you get my point, I'm pretty sure, that we need to compare our spending with our giving and make sure that we are still giving accordingly as God would expect us to, and not spending our things on ourselves, on things that we really don't need, just because we think it would be nice. And then we also have the principle in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. He says that we need to give seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. We give it to the king because we're God's people and we're part of his kingdom, and so we give for that reason. The last point then is that we need to, as followers of Christ, we need to consider that our giving reflects our thankfulness. And we find that back over in 2 Corinthians again in chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And certainly we want to give cheerfully. We've all received spiritual blessings. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Excuse me. Now, I know we're talking about monetary giving and giving of time and so on, but we do that because we have been blessed spiritually, and we have been chosen by God in verse 4, according that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. As we as chosen people of God need to support God's work. And finally, and in verse 7, he talks about we're being redeemed by his blood and the forgiveness of sins. And that's another reason why we want to give. And finally, in verse 11, it says, to whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And so we have this inheritance to look forward to, and we want to thank God for his unspeakable gift to us. Now, I'd like to just have a practical point yet, and that is that I believe in our giving, we need to know where we're giving and who we're giving to. Now, you give here in the Sunday morning church offering, you know that it's going for whatever was announced for. Maybe a special need or church and Sunday school, I think I heard, for next Sunday and so on, or some remodeling here. And you know what, and you have full assurance that that money will be used for what you intended to give it for. And so I'm saying we need to know who we're giving to when we're giving. And for an example of this, when we were over in Pakistan under Christian Aid, Christian Aid had a associate with a, to get inside the country of Pakistan, you had to go through a mission that was in Pakistan. And so Christian Aid found a company called Pakistani Trust, and they were supposed to be a mission to help the poorer people in the land there. And through the course of working with them and so on, they did some good things. I remember one time they brought a car to our place where we stayed, and they had a lot of the village gathered together, and they gave this car to a certain family as a gift because they needed some help. And there was a lot of people that needed help after the earthquake over there. But through the course of the months that we spent there, we found out that they said 10% of the money that's given to them actually goes to the individuals that need it. The rest was used in administrative duties. We were happy to inform them that under Christian Aid, 97% went to the people that needed it, and only 3% was used in administrative. Now, I understand that right now it increased to 4%, but still, 96% of the money that you would give goes to the needs that are around, and only 4% is used for administrative. So the thing that I'm trying to stress is that we need to know who we're giving our money to if we give outside of the church. I'm not saying that all the money needs to go exactly to the church, your local congregation, but most of it should. And if you're disposed to give to some other charity, make sure you know who you're giving to. And there's other charities around that are doing good work that would use the money rightly too. But you can give your money to someone and find out later that it never reached the place you want it to be, and that's not right. So the last question I have is that if our giving reflects our view of God, how big is your God? That's a question for each of us to answer. Let's kneel for prayer.